morning, we want to continue our series as we're going through. How many are enjoying their fast? Come on. Yeah. Be honest. Okay. Yeah. A few of us. Okay. How many are fasting? Okay. Participating in some way. Okay, good. That's awesome. We're having some good, really involvement this year and participation. But we're entering our last week, so we're here now. All right, come on now, 7 more days, you know. We can do this thing, whatever it is that God's put on your heart. And like we've said the past couple of weeks, make sure whatever you're doing that you're skipping some meals. Whether it's you're choosing to do a juice fast or an all-water fast, like again, if you have health issues, please check with your doctor. But do something. You want to feel hungry, okay? Let me just say that. And if you can't do it every day, that's fine. I mean, understand, it's not legalism. But what we're doing is we're making space. Say, making space. For God. That's what fasting is. We're saying, God, I want to eat. It's good to eat, but I'm going to lay it aside because I know you have something better for me. That's what fasting is. Okay, whether you do 1 day, 3 days, go 21 days, really change your eating habits. Daniel fast is a good option, but like I've said before, we've got information on our website, information at the Information Center. If you do a Daniel fast, do it light because the Daniel fast, I mean, it's kind of like a vegan diet or whatever you want to call it, and you can eat pretty good. And so I don't think that's really when Daniel fasted. I'm not sure that's what he did. Daniel was seeking the Lord. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he just didn't eat any pleasant food. And so basically, I believe that when he was fasting, he was just getting what he needed to for nourishment. And if you can do that through drinks or just small meals or whatever, remember, you want to be hungry. Let's read this together. Matthew 6, Jesus said, "But when you pray," say, "when I pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Again, this is seeking Father in the secret place. So he'll reward us openly and start to pour the presence of God and the kingdom of heaven into our lives. Verse 16, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces. They may appear to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Listen, this is not for you to walk around and say, "I'm fasting, I'm so hungry." I mean, you know, if you got somebody you're close to, say, "Would you pray for me? This is rough right now." That's one thing. I'm talking, this is a fast for you to get closer to God. It's not for other people. "But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, look good, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting." Put perfume on. Put a little cologne on, guys. Come on. Take a mint. Brush your teeth once in a while. It says, "But to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." See, understand, fasting is not, this is terrible. That's fasting is, okay, I can do this, and I'm full of the presence of God, and man, I'm going to have a great day. All right? That really. And then you make time for God. Say, make time. Verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and their thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So Jesus was really teaching us, look, if we would pray, if we would fast, if we would lay up, if we would give, if we would be givers, that you and I would live a life that the kingdom of heaven would be produced in time after time after time, making a commitment to pray throughout the year, to fast throughout the year. Remember, we're taking a look at our lives, and we're going to really focus in on this a little bit more today. When I fast, I should be taking a look at my life and allowing God in to take a look and see the things I don't see. Can I get an amen? I mean, there's a lot of things in our lives we just get accustomed to. And when we think about fasting, I know when I think about fasting, before I start, I'm like, I don't even want, I'm just being honest with you. I want to because I know what I'm going to get spiritually. But I'm thinking, I just don't want to because how many know you can develop a pretty comfortable life? Hello. All right. But you and I have got, when we're fasting, what we're doing is say, "Lord, what is in my life that is keeping me from you?" And then not even acknowledging it, but then allowing God to take that out. I mean, Trisha and I have been, we talked to each other. Just the other day she says to me, "I think I'm not going to be doing this so much anymore. I'm not going to be doing that, or I'm not going to be eating this, or in my week, I'm not going to be watching this or listening to that or whatever, and these types of things. I'm going to cut back in this area." See, God is speaking to us things, not just for this fast, but to continue throughout the year. And so that's really what you want, garbage in, garbage out. We're coming into agreement, first of all, with what the Word of God, the will of God is for our lives. Then we have to come into alignment. Now, last week, we talked a little bit about coming into agreement with the Word of God. It says in Amos 3:3, we don't have to put it up, but "Can two walk together unless they're agreed?" And the answer is no. So we're coming into agreement with God. How many know if you and God differ, who's right? Okay, come on. All right, so we're coming into agreement with God, and then we're aligning our lives and allowing God to make corrections. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. James 3:16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first, oh, just listen to this, pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who what make peace. And so I believe that as we're fasting, we are saying, Lord, I'm getting my self-seeking nature out of the way, and I'm allowing you to pour your wisdom into my life so that I can start to have pure thoughts, peaceable thoughts, gentle thoughts. I'm willing to yield mercy, good works. I'm not given to hypocrisy. How many know we can be hypocritical? Come on. I think, you know, you don't have to take a hypocritical oath to be a hypocrite. Okay. We just are. But see, we need to get self out of the way and then say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? What kind of adjustments do you want me to make? That's what fasting is for. And even though, you know, we are fasting together, really most of the things we've even put on the website, and you should be praying for the nations, and we pray for the nations, and we last week we were praying for the city here during our services, and we'll continue to do that, and we've got a prayer team that prays over those things on a regular basis, and we'll do that. But this fast at the beginning of the year is really for you to seek God, to start to remove stuff so you can hear him clearly the rest of the year. It's for you and me, not just you, but it's for me and you to hear God. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Here's the problem. And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. How many know this is our struggle? Romans chapter 7 would be a good place to read, but go ahead and make sure. You really should just read Romans 6, 7, 8. It really would help us understand, you know, so much of our time, the time we're not doing what we want to, but much of the time it's because we really feed our flesh so much. We really, not just food, but we are in an entertainment-laden society. We have so much entertainment. We have so many things to keep us distracted. Come on, somebody. I mean, and I'm not against any of this, but the big thing now is, you know, and we put our notes online so you can follow on your smartphone if you want to, and we're fine with that. But everybody's, you know, snapping pictures in church and this. Listen, and again, I'm not trying to criticize anybody. But when we come to church and we're worshiping, we got to take a selfie worshiping. Am I worshiping the Lord? Listen. Just think about that remark. I'm taking a selfie, okay, as I worship the Lord. Don't I look good? Look, if praise looks good on you, other people will see it and God will see it. And that's what matters. All right, you don't need to take a selfie. But so much, I've seen people sit in these services and just, during worship, be texting. Oh my, if it's that important, please leave the service, take care of it, and come back. It's probably not that important, okay? What I've found is the most important people know how to take breaks away from their busy schedule, and coming to church would be one of those, and a lot of people just leave their phone in the car. And I know a lot of busy people, so I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. It's usually the ones who are not busy that are busy. All right. You love me? Okay. All right. Busy doing stuff we shouldn't do. Just eating up time. But see, draw closer to God, crucify the flesh, and yield to the Spirit. What we're doing is saying, Lord, I am learning how to become more sensitive to your Spirit. Now, it's not do this, don't do that. We are not under the law. We're under grace. But listen, if you don't discipline your flesh, how do you think you're going to hear the Spirit? Yeah, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven, but don't you want some of the fruit of the kingdom of heaven? Jesus says, abide in me, and if my words abide in you, whatever you say will be done in you. But even in the abiding process, he's pruning us so we can, what, bear more fruit? If we don't bear fruit, he cuts us off. And then you can go text all you want. All right. Learning obedience, learning repentance. Repentance means to change directions. When we fast, we become less sensitive to our flesh and more responsive to the Spirit of God. See, I think many Christians live incredibly carnal lives. And the Bible says that when we think carnal. I love the term, but I want to explain. So many times we think carnal, and we think, oh yeah, sexual immorality. Well, that's part of it. A carnal life is just living life according to the natural senses. That's what a carnal, when you read it in the Bible, matter of fact, in Corinthians, it says when we're carnal that we're babes, okay? So if you want to grow up as a Christian, this is how you do it. You say no to your flesh. If Jesus had to fast, come on, somebody, I have to fast. We must tap into the Spirit to have successful lives. I don't really think reasoning and rationalizing gets it. And I've seen this happen so much of the time, especially with people who have walked with the Lord for a while and don't really learn the disciplines that we're talking about. How many know life is challenging? If you've walked for Christ a while, you know that there are challenges. You don't make Jesus the Lord of your life and all your problems go away. That doesn't happen. But I've seen so many Christians, we get to a place where we think, well, you know, I saw God move, but now this is just the way it's working. And, you know, this is kind of the way it is. And God's word works, but. Well, you need to get that but out of the way. Don't reason. Don't rationalize the word of God. Get a hold of God's Spirit and walk in the Spirit. I believe, and we're going to see through some scriptures here, that carnal living quenches our faith. I'll say it again. Carnal living or natural living, spending more time on the natural things, what I eat, what I drink, what I put on, where I live. Jesus talked about this. He said, if you seek the kingdom of heaven first and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. But we are spending so much time, many of us, seeking all the wrong things. And because we do, our faith is not what it should be. All right. Matter of fact, just to prove it to you, I didn't have these in my notes. I've got a few scriptures, Will. You'll have to look up. But, hey, let's hear it for Will. Let's hear it back there. Will, good job. He is awesome when I throw these at him. This is all going to be in the New King James, so you want to look up that version. First thing I want to read is Hebrews 12. And many of us know this scripture, but it really, I want to help you understand that carnal living will quench your faith. I had a friend I used to jog with years ago. And when I say jog, I mean just 3 or 4 miles. I've never been a big runner, but we'd get up and we'd jog in the morning. And he used to say this is probably 15 years ago. And he used to say to me, he'd say, it's not Jesus and a bag of potato chips. And we'd be running. You know, it's true. It's not. But so many times we have this Maj pit or whatever, we have all this stuff, like a cauldron, and we just throw some Jesus in there. Listen, it don't work. Jesus is not something to just be thrown in like a dash of salt. Hello. Jesus needs to be our all in all. Jesus needs to be the center. Jesus needs to be the focus, so much so that I'll put food away to be with him. Again, if you have not hurt yourself on this fast, take this last week and do something. Don't cut out something easy. That's a cop-out. And the only one that's missing out, listen, I'll love you just the same, so will God. But you're missing out if you don't do something that requires you to go, oh, but you're better. All right? You need to. Okay. This is Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Who lays it aside? Who lays it aside? Okay, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See, sin will slow you down. Now, somebody said, well, yeah, but Jesus took care of my sin. Well, yeah, but you need to take care of your flesh, and your flesh is saturated with sin. Just say, it's all sin, really, if you want to just make sin simple. Because sometimes I think, well, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't look at pornography. Okay. But what's your faith like? Are you rationalizing and saying, well, I know it's Jesus, but then where's your faith? Talk about building your faith here. Okay. It says, Jesus, keep our eyes fixed on him, author and finisher of our what? Faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So if we're supposed to deny every sin, get rid of every sin, doesn't mean you have to be perfect, but I'm saying, Lord, there are things in my life that I don't like, and if I don't like them, I know you don't like them, and now God has also revealed things that he doesn't like, and you go, But you know what? When God reveals something to you that he doesn't like, it really is not that great of a revelation. You already knew. Awful quiet in here. We just kind of skirt the issues. We know there's areas in our lives where we've grown comfortable, where we've grown spiritually lazy, or the Bible says spiritually dull, having ears to hear but not hearing. Another scripture I want to look up. This is, again, New King James, Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read quite a number of verses here. Sorry this isn't on your smartphone to follow. These are just a couple things I threw in yesterday after my notes were done, but I really wanted to look at them. This is Galatians 5, 19 through 26. All right. Now the works of the flesh are evident. How many know that's a true statement right there? Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. You want to know what lewdness is? Just get on Facebook, look some of the things people put on it they call funny. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Listen, if on your fast, you don't start to see some of those and go, you didn't fast. You skipped something easy. Love me? Okay, some of you do. And you don't have to fast. Okay, you don't. You can still keep living life the way you are and get the dull results. There, I said it. All right. He says this, which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, notice he says the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. Works are something we produce on our own with nobody's help. The fruit of the Spirit is something God produces when we draw near to him. So what I'm doing is I'm denying things. Yes, you do need to say no to sin once in a while. I know that's not popular nowadays, but I can't get away from it in the Bible. Here's one place. Now, you won't conquer it all on your own. Matter of fact, you can't say, I won't do this. But you need to allow yourself to sit down and let God take a look at your life and start to show you things. And then he shows you something. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because I'm a child of God, I'm not a person who curses. I'm not a person who loses his temper. Produce your fruits of righteousness. And you start to read the word and you start to pray and let him do it. But you're taking time to lay your life down. This is part of what we need to do to grow spiritually. It says when you have the fruit of the Spirit, joy, love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. You're not under law, you're under grace. And those who are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Passions. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in James that we sin when we're drawn away by our own desire or lust. Matter of fact, we'll probably read that here in a minute. Some of you are looking at me like, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So here's the thing. This is not a competition with other people. This is me genuinely saying, Lord, I want to see more of the kingdom in my life. And as I fast from food, from entertainment, from things that are habits, I am seeking you because I expect you to crucify and have crucified all these things in my life. And I denounce those things and now produce your fruit in me. And allow him to abide in you. And that only comes through taking time and allowing God to be the center of your life. For you and I to come into alignment with God, we must allow him to remove doubt and unbelief. And the only way that we are going to remove doubt and unbelief is to allow the Lord into our lives to expose things that are in our lives that are keeping us from him. Matthew 17. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Now, the disciples should have been able to. As a matter of fact, we don't have time this morning, but Matthew 10, 1, you can see where Jesus commissions the disciples and tells them to go heal the sick, cast out demons. They were commissioned and empowered to do this very thing, but they could not cure him. All right? Verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. All right? So the disciples could not cure him. But Jesus came and did. That's not a surprise. But he really goes and teaches us why they could not. How many know they were commissioned? We already established that. Matthew 10. They were commissioned just like you and me, but we're not getting kingdom results. He calls them faithless, which really means without faith or trust in God and his principles. These are the yeah, but people. Perverse, filled with perversity, off track, out of communion with God, living a carnal life full of self and your own desires. That's the best way I can put it. Perverse. All right? Hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. Matter of fact, I don't want to turn there, but if you want to look it up and read on your own, you can read, let me see here, Mark 8:15-21. Mark 8:15-21, where Jesus says to beware the leaven of Herod and the Pharisees. We taught on this a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night. But we start to think like the world and like the religious when we don't draw near God. So we can either think like the world, which says there's no God. We can be religious, which says, well, God's there, but. Or we can eat the bread of life, which is Jesus. So really, that's our choice, and that's what we're talking about. He wants you and I to be sanctified. In fact, Thessalonians 4:3-5 tells us it's the will of God that we're sanctified and that we abstain from sexual immorality, that each of us should know how to possess our own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion or lust, that each of us should know, say this with me, that each of us should know how to possess. How many think that might take something on my part? All right, just trying to help you. You are never going to do this on your own. You can only do this by seeking God, saying, I'm not going to do this, will not work. It only comes through seeking him and acknowledging that you have an area that you need help with, that you're walking and living in a life that is not filled with faith, that you're putting too much yeah, but in there, and allow God to rekindle your faith. Let me read on. This is Matthew 17 some more. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? They're like, how come we couldn't? You commissioned us? And how many Christians are like that? How come I didn't see this result in my life? He gives us the answer. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. There you go. Not because the demon was too big for them. It was because of their unbelief. For surely I say unto you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, how many know that's not very big? You will say to this mountain, move. Let me just say this. Mustard seed. Let's think about that. Faith doesn't have to be very big, but the problem is we got lots of big things in our lives that are keeping us from faith, because faith is simple. It's like a child who just believes. This is what my father said, therefore it's going to happen. I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. I truly believe, and I've looked at these scriptures, I've read commentations, both sides. I believe with all my heart, Jesus is not talking about the demon coming out through fasting and prayer. He is talking about their unbelief, because they asked him, why could we not? So even if he is saying, well, you couldn't cast out the demon, which he is, he's saying the only reason you couldn't was because of unbelief, which comes out through prayer and fasting. Think about it. Jesus lived a life of prayer and fasting, so he was full of the presence of God. Jesus didn't show up and a demon manifests and says, dude, I got to fast and pray. Are you with me? So fasting and prayer is not what gets the demon out, but fasting and prayer gets me full of the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven will always get the demon out. Hope that makes sense. There's a difference. There is a difference there. All right. Too much of the world, please hear me, will bring unbelief. If your life, if you love Jesus, you got to hear this. If your life looks no different come next Sunday for the rest of this year, just stop fasting now. Don't even, if you're not planning on doing something that's going to change, just go get a cheeseburger today. This is not about going hungry for 21 days. This is about saying, Lord, what's in my life that's keeping unbelief there? Do I have more of the culture of the world or more of the culture of heaven? James 1, you're going to have to look this up. Thank you, Will. You are doing awesome back there. James 1. Again, New King James Version. First, I want to read verses 14 and 15. James 1, 14 and 15. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, say sin. I'm going to call it what it is. Sin is just anything that's below the standard of heaven. When it's full grown, brings forth what? Death. Verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. May I suggest this? The reason James says, do not be deceived, that every good gift comes from Father God, right after he says that you're going to be tempted by your own desires, is because I believe living in a state where we're not dealing with the things that are tempting us will cause us to not believe that every good and perfect gift comes from Father God. Therefore, quenching your faith. Are you with me? Otherwise, he wouldn't say that. He said, look, understand, when you're tempted, it's not the devil. It's you being tempted by your desires that are not godly desires. So when a man's tempted, don't let him say it's God. It's me being drawn away. And we all have areas in our lives that we are drawn so far away, we barely, it's the whole thing, like I said, we have this cauldron and just a dash of Jesus thrown in. A cauldron with a dash of Jesus will make crappy soup. But the Bible says his paths drip with abundance and he crowns the year with goodness. But so much of the time, we don't spend time evaluating our lives. We say, but, well, I know God's word says this, but, got to do this, 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 and that, and we'll throw that in there. And you know, it works, but not all the time. Your faith has been overcome by your doubt and unbelief. So you and I should be setting aside time for God. Say, come and fill me, God. Come and lead me. Come and guide me. I repent. The only way that you and I are going to have a breakthrough of the goodness of God is to have a personal revelation of how good he is. I'm going to share one more scripture with you, and then we'll have to go. Again, you'll have to look this up. Well, I am so sorry. Usually I've got those scriptures for you well beforehand. This is, again, New King James Version, Job 42. If you're following our reading plan, we just finished up Job this week. Job 42, verse 5. Job's gone through just an incredible trial, lost everything, all right? Lots of things in Job, so I'm not going to give you the condensed version. But the one thing I want us to see in this is that I need a personal revelation of who God is if I am going to live the kind of life that God has for me. And when you look at Job, you can, again, there's a lot of things in there, but you can see Job living a life blessed of God, but really not living the kingdom, because the kingdom, you'll see, comes and brings him a double, which the kingdom of heaven is even more than that. But whenever you see that, it's really, you take a look at Elijah and Elisha. It's really looking at how Jesus was taken to heaven, but now you and I are given a double portion, if you will. Jesus said, greater things you'll do than me because I go to the Father. And you see that in Scripture. Whenever it's an increase, it's showing the kingdom of heaven as opposed to how it was before, all right? And listen to what it says in verse 5 and 6. I have heard of you. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you, therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Listen, until you see Jesus for yourself, you will continue to make excuses for your life. You will not repent. You will not abhor your life without him. You will continue to live in the same way that you've been living, making excuses for the results we sort of get. Not willing to sacrifice our flesh, because after all, Pastor, we're under grace. Jesus said what? When you fast. I mean, no, he's the grace giver. The only thing that is going to help you to allow God into your life, to change your life, is for you to have a personal relationship with Him where you're like, God, my life without You is just not good. Because until you get the life He wants, or to get the life He wants will not come until you realize without Him, you cannot do it. Let's pray. Father, I thank You today that the Word of God is working in us, giving us the desire and the power to do the things that please You. I pray for each person in this place today that, Lord, we would have a revelation of Your goodness, a revelation of really how disconnected we are, and then admit it, that our disconnectedness is because of us, not because of You, because we don't fast, because we don't pray, because we don't seek You. Because when we fast, we throw something simple in there. Say, well, I can do this for 21 days. Can you? We'll add something to it and make it a real challenge. Today, Father, we crucify our lives, knowing that we died with Christ. But having died with Christ, we now know that the life that we live is full of Christ. And we expect His kingdom to be reproduced in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Get involved in the life of the church. Lots of things going on. There's some announcements to read here in just a moment. We're putting together some videos of some of you.